25 years ago next month, May of 1996, I graduated from the Lutheran Brethren Seminary in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. And there's a temptation for seminary graduates, as soon as they get out the gate and get to their first church, their first call, and preach their first sermon out of seminary, there's a temptation to just give the people everything you learned over those 3 years. You got Hebrew and Greek and hermeneutics and systematic theology and church history, and you're just going to get it all in there in one sermon. Well, I think over 25 years, I've stayed away from that temptation fairly well until today. Brothers and sisters, you're going to get it all. Not really, not really. So we're going through the story. Those of us who have this book, each week, a new chapter. And the story is all taken from the NIV Bible. But there's 31 chapters in here going from Genesis to Revelation, covering the highlights, the high points, if you will, and carrying us through the story of the Bible. Well, as I read this earlier in the week, chapter 23, which is the second chapter in here into the New Testament, it's the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. It's his baptism. It's his facing temptation from the devil. And it's his teaching and preaching and performing miracles. And every other week, I've focused on one part of the chapter and kind of honed in, zoomed in on a particular text from the chapter and then gone somewhat in depth, if you will, in that spot. Well, I just couldn't do it. This chapter is so full, so rich with Jesus Christ, and I couldn't land in any one spot. So today, you're going to get highlights from the whole chapter, chapter 23. There's excerpts in here from all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 11 chapters from the Gospels covered in this one chapter. And so I went through with three highlighters, and I brought them here in case I missed any references. I have blue, and I highlighted references to water. I was struck by the reoccurrence and appearance of water. And then I have orange, and I highlighted references to witnesses. That is, those who testified or witnessed to Jesus and who he is. And then I went through with green, and I highlighted wonders, meaning signs and wonders, miracles, things Jesus did that revealed who he is. So, beginning with water, and if you do have your copy of the story, I'm starting on the first page of chapter 23, which is page 321 in this book. Water. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to John from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by John in the Jordan River. You see the water there? Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Sometime later, John the Baptist said, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." And then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. John said, I baptize with water. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother, Mary, was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, They have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. Each jar could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, Fill the jars with water. And they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had become wine. The master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Very truly, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. You see the water down in the well? Near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph, the well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, Will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to life. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to life." All this talk about water. I do thirst again, physically. Spiritually, Jesus satisfies. There is a depth to all this water, right? There's a depth to the breadth as we go through these verses. I want to go on now to the witnesses. The witnesses, starting on page 322. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Do we need any more witnesses after this? Notice again, look and listen to the Trinity here. As Jesus, the Son of God, was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven, the Father, said, "This is my Son. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit, was it still in the form of a dove, leading him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." The "if" could be "since." The devil knows who Jesus is. That's why he's going to him and seeking to tempt him. "Since you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Again, "Since you are the Son of God," you know, he could have even just said, "You're the Son of God. Throw yourself down. He'll bear you up. His angels will lift you up. Your foot won't even strike a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." King James, New King James, "Behold." We still need that word, "behold." It's not just "look." Divert your eyes that direction. It is, "Let this presence that you now look at take hold of you. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John goes on, "This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Water and witness. The reason I came baptizing with water is that he, the Lamb of God, might be revealed. "I have seen," John said, "and I testify, I witness that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. You see what happened here? John the Baptist, witness. Andrew, witness. Simon Peter, witness to Jesus. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Brief pause here. "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law." Philip is referring back 1,500 years earlier to the man Moses and the writings of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. 1,500 years later, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law." Not only Moses, but the prophets as well. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. We found him. Do you know, as you go into the New Testament, I don't believe there's a page in the New Testament where the Old Testament is not underneath. And every so often, in fact, more often than we probably realize, the Old Testament just pops through. Like right here, the law of Moses, the prophets, that's Old Testament. All about Jesus. Going on here, Nathanael, who hears this from Philip, Nathanael says, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. Joanne, I'm looking at you. "Nazareth?" Okay, I can't help it, sorry. "Come and see," said Philip. Do you hear this again? Witness to witness to witness. "Now, Philip, come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Remember the Old Testament underneath? Jesus is referring to a dream that Jacob had. We read about it in Genesis chapter 28. Jacob used a stone as a pillow. He had a vision, a dream, heaven open, Jacob's ladder, right? Angels ascending and descending. That's what Jesus is referring to. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus. Anyone here ever wear Nike tennis shoes or apparel? If you admit it, okay. Nike comes from the Greek word Nike. It means victory. Fitting for athletic gear, right? Victory. Demos, like the word demographic or even democracy, demos, means people. The name Nicodemus literally means victory of or for the people. Victory of the people came to Jesus at night, and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." A teacher from God, a teacher who has God with him. Close, Nicodemus. Teacher who is God. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Very truly. Whenever you see those words, hear those words from Jesus, or truly, truly, or verily, behind them are the Greek words, amen, amen. And behind those Greek words are the Hebrew words, amen, amen. This is truth. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? Very truly, amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, Numbers 21, verse 8, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Moses. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, born again, forever, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands. The man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Notice he says this without judgment, by the way. Merely witness and now and some wonder here. She said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man. Remember this, come and see? Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did, she said. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed with them 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Come and see. Taste and see. Drink and never thirst again. They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit, a demon, cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Whenever the impure spirits saw Jesus, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Even the demons believe. But they don't believe. But they know who he is. They cannot help but cry out, "You are the Son of God." I'm going to go to the wonders. And actually, there are many wonders in here. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. He touches him, cleanses him, makes him whole. Jesus heals a man who has a withered hand. His hand becomes healthy and whole. It says, we have no idea how many people Jesus healed. It just says, like, the whole town came to him with those with diseases and demon possession and infirmities, and he healed them all. He healed them all. I want to just read one. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. He preached to them. Some men came, bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. See this? Coming down from the roof, through the roof, a man being lowered on a mat. The man is paralyzed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." When Jesus saw their faith, they believed. He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." The man, the paralyzed man, got up. He took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. He walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Who can forgive sins except God alone? Exactly. Exactly. That was a lot. I didn't even cover everything in this chapter, right? A lot's left out there, but we get to the end of the Gospel of John, the very, very end. Gospel of John, it says, John 1:20, 21, 25, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. You picture that? The whole world full of books, and that's not enough to contain all the deeds and words and things Jesus did. Now, I picture in heaven that library, larger than the world, with all those books. Now, on the one hand, we're in heaven. Jesus is there. He's like, "Well, we don't need the books so much anymore." And yet, it says his words will never pass away. And just think of being in that library in heaven with some good coffee and, you know, each other and the Apostle Paul, others, Mary, Jesus. And then we take down those volumes of all the words and acts Jesus ever did while he was here. Wow. A chapter earlier in John's Gospel, chapter 20, the end of that chapter, it says, Jesus performed many other signs and wonders in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Jesus said, those who believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life in his name. I went back through the chapter again with the yellow highlighter and highlighted the word and various forms of the word believe. It's in there 14 times, plus one faith, when Jesus saw their faith, they believed. Do you believe in Jesus today? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are amazing. We stand in awe of you. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And I cherish the old rugged cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life in his name, in your presence, in heaven, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.